This Lenten season, we've been using the theme, Eyes on Jesus, as the overall subject of the services and the sermons. Each of our six midweek Lenten services and sermons have been individually focused on what is seen through the eyes of the various characters in the Passion, the perspectives of Judas, Peter, the chief priests and scribes, Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldiers, and the Jewish crowd. Last night we reflected on how there is much more than meets the eye going on in the Last Supper. Easter sunrise will rest our eyes upon the sealed tomb of Jesus with the sorrowful women. And at the 8 and the 10:45 a.m. services, we'll look at the empty tomb through the eyes of an Easter angel. But tonight, we'll view Jesus' crucifixion through God's eyes. What God the Father, what God the Son, what God the Holy Spirit saw, and what they accomplished at the cross for us men and for our salvation. First up is God the Father. What did he see on that Good Friday? He saw his only begotten Son suffering and dying unjustly on a Roman cross. I can't imagine watching your own child die in such a horrible way. It is incomprehensible for us, beyond our experience. As sinful mortals, we can't understand what it is like to be God, immortal, holy, all-knowing, all-powerful. But surely the Father's heart was grieved beyond words. Yet what's even more profound is that God loves you so much that he willingly inflicted this on his beloved Son. St. Paul wrote that the Father did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, and that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait around for us to clean up our act first. While we were ungodly and enemies of God, he slaughtered his Son in our place, in his righteous anger against the sin of the world. This means that we caused the death of Jesus. At Pentecost, St. Peter preached, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." The Father gave the Son to the world, but you crucified and killed him. Yes, Peter is talking about you and me. He isn't accusing only the Jews, but brings these charges against all sinners. Whether a sinner lived in the first or the 21st century, the guilt and the blame is all the same. We all crucified the Son of God by our sin. As we sang in some of our Lenten hymns, "I caused your grief and sighing by evils multiplying, as countless as the sands. I caused the woes unnumbered with which your soul is cumbered, your sorrows raised by wicked hands." From Upon the Cross Extended, verse 4. Or, "O child of woe, who struck the blow that kills our gracious master? It was I, thy conscience cries, I have wrought disaster." Verse 3 of O Darkest Woe. As we acknowledge our sin and our unworthiness, we need to see ourselves nailing Jesus to the tree. But at the same time, his crucifixion was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, the Father. What value did the Father see in this plan? The Father saw, and now all of us can see, God's own glory being manifested to the world. This is what Jesus prayed for. Just hours before his crucifixion, when Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished a work that you gave me to do. From John chapter 17. The Father and the Son both receive glory for having mercy on sinners. That is what they accomplish during Christ's perfect death, suffering, and resurrection. The Father sees all of your pain put on Jesus on the cross, even the sin of crucifying him. Moreover, he sees his wrath against all sin being poured out upon the Son, to include enduring the torments of hell. Hell is being subjected to God's wrath, and that is what the Father sees Jesus enduring in your place to save you. Now for the Son's perspective. Jesus always knew that his name means the Lord saves. So he sees himself not only as the object of the Father's wrath, but also as the subject of your salvation. He drinks his Father's wrath down to its dregs, finally crying out in abandonment and separation from the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? But this is no cry of despair. He suffers abandonment from the Father. That is true. He suffers the pains of a sinner condemned to hell. But he still looks to the Father with a perfect love and trust. My God, he cries with unbroken faith. And with the words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he breathes his last. He knows his Father still loves him and will raise him from the dead on the third day. On Good Friday, what does Jesus see when he looks at you and all sinners? He recognizes you as the cause of his pain and his suffering, but he doesn't hold it against you. The Lamb of God bears this willingly. He wants nothing other than to be your Savior. He looks at you and then prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He stares into your sinful eyes and says, I love you all the same. I and my Father love you so much that we would make this sacrifice for you. I am offering myself in your place to spare you from the Father's wrath, to save you from your sins, and to spare you from hell. And finally, what does the Holy Spirit see? Well, first, he sees the Son and comes to Jesus' aid as he offers his life as a ransom to the Father. We don't really know the ins and outs of all of this, but the epistle to the Hebrews says that Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. Hebrews chapter 9. And by doing this, he accomplished your redemption by the blood of his cross. Jesus had received the Spirit without measure in his baptism, and we know the Spirit is the helper. It makes sense then that the Holy Spirit not only helped Jesus fulfill all righteousness during his earthly ministry, but also helped him offer himself to the Father on the cross. Secondly, on Good Friday, the Spirit sees that everything necessary for the salvation of sinners is achieved by the Son. Again, Jesus had just promised hours before his death, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. From John chapter 16. Here we see the Holy Trinity working together in their natural, perfect harmony. The Father gave the Son the task of redeeming mankind. The Son willingly took this task upon himself, and the Holy Spirit joyfully proclaims this message to you, so you may enjoy the benefits of the Son's sacrificial death. The Spirit takes what is Christ's and declares it to you. He takes the righteousness of Jesus and instills it in the waters of holy baptism to make it a life-giving water, rich in grace, a new birth into God's eternal kingdom. He takes the forgiveness of Jesus and declares it to you through the gospel and through the words of absolution. And he presents to you the body given and the blood shed for you on the cross to be received for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and holy communion. On Good Friday, God's eyes see everything necessary to save you from sin, from death, from hell. Although our own eyes look upon our guilt, unworthiness, and impurity, the Father looks upon your sin forgiven for Christ's sake. The Son credits his own righteousness to your account, and the Holy Spirit makes you a participant in the holiness of Jesus. You are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So keep this truth on your mind, in your heart, and before your eyes at all times. When God looks at you, he sees the apple of his eye, his beloved child united with Christ in his death and resurrection, raised up to a new eternal life with him. Amen.